So I think we are ready to start. My warm welcome to all of you here in the library of the University of Konstanz and far away in different places. From me and Petra Quintini, we are both, so to speak, responsible for the fact that we have this gathering today. And today is a special event in our seminar series, The Hamas-Israel War and Antisemitism. We will open the exhibition 656, which documents in a silent but impressive way what happened on October 7th, 2023 to Israel, to the people in Israel. We will hear more about the photographs and their context in a few moments. Let me say at the very outset of this evening that this exhibition on the Hamas terrorist attack, this whole series of seminars with our partners from Israel, does not mean that we are in any way neglecting the immense suffering and death of Palestinian civilians as the result of war. On the contrary, our sympathy is with all victims of violence and hatred on both sides of this intractable conflict. With our initiative, we legitimately intend to combat a specific reaction to the violence that has become visible around the world, and that's antisemitism. Antisemitism that makes no distinction between legitimate and necessary criticism of Israeli warfare and the hateful attitudes and attacks against Jewish people in distant places, against the state of Israel as a Jewish demon, neglecting the Shoah and supporting the wildest fantasies of erasing Israel from the map of the Middle East. We decided to present this exhibition in Konstanz because it's extremely important to understand why October 7th caused such a shock to the collective and individual feelings of people in Israel and Jews all over the world. Of course, Israel has been the target of terrorist attacks for decades, but October 7th, in its cruelty, marked a profound loss of human security in many ways, with far-reaching consequences to the Israeli society. First of all, I'd like to welcome Ruth Frenk among us. She's the director of the German-Israeli Association at the Bodensee Region, who had the original idea to bring this exhibition to Konstanz. Thank you, Ruth, for this initiative. Thank you. It might be that Leo Föhringer, head of the Youth Forum of the DEG Bodensee, is also with us. So if he's there, welcome. We will now continue with a short greeting by Konstantin Mack from the German-Israeli Association Würzburg. He's one of the curators of the exhibition and will give his welcome address online. And I would like now to hand over to him and hope this works out well.
Hi there, can you see me? Can you hear me?
The stage is yours.
Right, thank you. Dear audience, it's a great honor to be here today for the opening of the exhibition 656 in Konstanz. My name is Konstantin Mack. I'm the president of the German-Israeli Society in Würzburg. And the German-Israeli Society is the key organization in promoting friendship, understanding, and cooperation between Germany and Israel. I'm very sorry I can't be with you in Konstanz today, but since I've recently become a father, my main duty is at home right now. The exhibition 656 was first shown in Würzburg in March and has since traveled to Mannheim, to Bielefeld, St. Wendel, and now to Konstanz. Thank you to Thomas Kinz, Ruth Frenk, and Petra Quintini for bringing the exhibition here. Since October 7th, Jews, Israelis, and Zionists all over the world are facing threats and hatred. Anti-Semitic incidents are rising to a new high. The brutal attack by Hamas terrorists has killed over 1,200 people and hurt many more. Even 8 months into Israel's war against Hamas, and into its attempts to free the hostages in Gaza, the extent of the sheer violence committed by the terrorists is not fully visible yet. Hamas regularly releases new videos and pictures of their atrocities, each worse than the last. So it is even more incomprehensible that supposedly enlightened people in Western countries rally in support of anti-Semitic terrorists. It's not only Columbia University, it's not only Harvard University, but it is Berlin, Frankfurt, Munich, Bonn, and many more. The open calls for murdering Jews are horrifying. The collaboration of people from the political left with right-wing extremists and Islamists is horrifying as well. But still, it did not come as a surprise, since anti-Semitism works as an ideological glue. Even so, in Würzburg, where I am located right now, here we are experiencing an alarming rise of anti-Semitic incidents and open calls for the extermination of the Jewish state. As German-Israeli society, we try our very best to show that the so-called pro-Palestine rallies in our city are in fact just a cover for Hamas propaganda. We all want this war to stop. We all want the hostages to be brought home. We all want the Jewish state to live in peace. We all want the Hamas rule to end. And we also want the Palestinian civilian population to live in a democratic society. There is no contradiction between in defending Israel's right to exist and to defend itself and wishing for a better future for the people living in Gaza. Even more so, I am convinced that as humans, we need to strive for a good, a peaceful, and a safe life for all. And of course, the news and the footage from Gaza is terrible. But in their cruel logic, every dead civilian is a victory for Hamas. They don't value human life. They abuse their very own population for their fight against Israel. So, for Israel, as well as for the civilian population in Gaza, it's a lose-lose situation right now. I think many of the current debates are missing nuances. This is not about us against them, but it's about every human being to have the right to live in freedom and peace. But this won't come, neither for Israel nor for the Palestinians, as long as terrorists are in charge. So, coming back to today's occasion, the exhibition 656, with pictures from the kibbutzim Nir Oz, Re'im, and Be'eri. In the weeks and months after October 7th, we have witnessed a shift in news coverage. All too often, it seems that the very reason for the war in Gaza is forgotten. Only few care about the fate of the hostages, whether they're dead or alive. And the attack, the terrorist attack on October 7th, has become a side note. With our exhibition, we wanted to focus on the aftermath of October 7th that is still visible in Israel right now. Our pictures show the destruction, the losses, and also the scars, without displaying any blood or human remains. By doing so, we want to set that back and look at the origin of the current events. I'm glad my co-curator Judith Wetzka is also here today, and she will give more details about the exhibition and also show some of the photographs. And if anyone in the audience is interested in showing the exhibition elsewhere, feel free to contact us. That's it for now. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for organizing this event. And I hope you'll have an interesting evening. Thank you.
Very much, Konstantin, for this welcome address and also for sharing your thoughts with us this evening. Now I'm pleased to hear from Judith Wetzka from the University of Jewish Studies Heidelberg, who co-curated together with Konstantin and others the exhibition. Judith studied Jewish Jewish studies and philosophy in Heidelberg, Jerusalem, and Tel Aviv. She engages as an artist, language interpreter, and translator. And let me add that we have the opportunity of a guided tour tomorrow at 11 a.m. with Sabrina Zinker, another co-curator of this exhibition. So welcome you to you as well, but I turn over now to Judith Wetzka.
Thank you very much. First of all, I'd like to point out that I'm not the only curator of the exhibition who is present tonight. There's also my friend and colleague sitting in the back, Sabrina Zinker. And Sabrina, as you see, she likes to keep in the back a bit, not so much in the foreground. But Sabrina is the person who actually had the idea of creating this exhibition. And she also, from the first moment of this exhibition to now, and also, I believe, to the future, she's present, she's working to keep this exhibition going. I'd like to thank you, of course. We are very happy to be here. There's a German city with, I think, 1,773 and 68, I checked the number, people, inhabitants, not in Baden-Württemberg, but in Hessen. You can guess which city it is. It's a rather big city. And they were actually interested in also having this exhibition, but then they said they couldn't find a space. So it's a bad excuse. It's rather sad, of course. My lecture has two talks. First of all, I'd like to give you a little bit of a background on how this exhibition came about, what the origin was. And secondly, I'd like to talk to you more about the pictures, about the photographer. It's very important to note that the background of this exhibition was a completely private. The exhibition started in a completely private setting. Sabrina has a friend who was working in Kibbutz Be'eri and other kibbutzim in November. And he took photos there and he sent them to Sabrina by WhatsApp. If I later show you the first pictures, you can see differences in the resolution. There are some pictures which have a very, very high resolution and some pictures which are kind of blurry. They were also sent by WhatsApp. And Sabrina and other people, Konstantin Mack among them, also Ricardo Alteri, and also people from the DEG Mannheim decided to have this exhibition. I'd like to jump forward a bit. I'll come back to these pictures later. They decided to have this exhibition, and we didn't have a lot of financial means, so we started a crowdfunding campaign. And as you can see, we raised the money needed. The exhibition came about together with the DEG Mannheim. This is a picture from the installation for in Mannheim. Unfortunately, you can see that there was also graffiti. So there was also somebody who put a swastika and graffiti on it, which was later removed. Mannheim was also had difficulties to find a space. They found one. It was a very successful exhibition. They had more than 1,400 visitors. But again, let me say, it all started on a very, very small scale. I can also say, and I guess you feel this too, that the Konstantin said other cities are interested, but the interest of other cities is declining. It's getting harder and harder for this exhibition to be shown, and I think the whole atmosphere is changing gradually. It's very worrying, and I think it's very, Konstantin also mentioned it, it's very hard to believe, because, well, in this installation view we have flags. But I believe, first of all, it's not a political exhibition. It's an exhibition about human values, about civilians being attacked, and this is very, very important. And we are just talking about historical facts. This is not yet a political statement. All of these photos were taken by a person at the end of November. This man is called Alex. He's currently on reserve duty in northern Lebanon. Well, not in northern Lebanon, but in Israel, but in a war zone at any rate. But when he was in the kibbutzim, It was Be'eri, Nir Oz, and also Re'im, among others. He was there actually as a private person. When he was there, Be'eri and the other kibbutzim were actually a closed military zone, so no private person was allowed to get in. Also, the residents of the kibbutzim weren't allowed in November to be in there. There's a very small sign on this door, which says that this room is closed, and anyone who wants to get in has to contact somebody. It was a closed military area. And why was he there anyway? He was there because he was he's working for a company which is specializing in doing 3D models. So his job was actually to work with a 3D scanner and to take pictures. And so this company was being issued by the State of Israel, by the Israeli Antiquities Authority, in Hebrew, Reshut HaAtikot, to be there and to have a documentation of the state of affairs in November. And it's very important to note, we also started out, of course, thinking of October the 7th, and this is, of course, very important, but by and by we realized what we see is of course affected by the attack on October the 7th, but all these pictures were taken in November. So there's actually much more we can say about November, also because the photographer Alex told us about it, than we can say about the events on October the 7th. This is one of the pictures which is also figuring in the exhibition. This is one of the pictures which he sent privately, which is not in the exhibition. I contacted him today if he could also send a better resolution, but he's currently in the army and it's very, very hard. I think a lot of these pictures actually need explanation. The person Alex, he's a person who likes to keep quiet. He said in Hebrew, "Ani borek katan," I'm just a small part in the larger system. But I think these pictures are very hard to understand without the information. For example, he explained to me in an interview which I conducted with him on the beginning of May, that these buildings that you see, they are actually secure rooms which people fled inside, and there was a whole house around, but all that remained of that house are just these two secure rooms. In here, you can actually see the scanner. He's like doing a rotational scan, again, for the Israel Antiquities Authority. Because as you also know, the events are being contested or were being contested right after. For example, the woman who told, also men who told stories of rape or worse, were not believed, just to give you one example. So the Israel Antiquities Authority wanted to create a documentation. And this is why our photographer was there. Still, these photographs, which are also in the exhibition, are all private photos in a way. And why do I say private? Because he had, of course, a professional camera to use, but all these pictures we show in the exhibition were taken with a phone. And he also said, well, I'm not, as I said already, I'm not very important, but he told me the minute I got out of the car, and this is in Be'eri, the minute I got out of the car, I made the first picture. He was, of course, very affected, and taking photos was his way of dealing with this situation. And that's also why I chose to show you this tonight, this picture. It's not in the exhibition, but it's his first picture that he took when he got there. And I also had a kind of discussion with him because he didn't really want to talk to me. He said, the pictures tell so much. I had a discussion because I said, you know, so much information, you were there, you smelled things, you heard things also in November, which we don't see, which we maybe don't understand. And also I think this picture shows that he has his own view of things. He likes to look at details. He's not having a political agenda, what he wants to take pictures of. He was just documenting, seeing things. It's very important to note, because he was actually in an official, his official task was to take photos, to document, to provide documents. So he told me that he didn't change any detail. For example, he went into this room and he saw this and the kippah lying there, and he didn't change anything. Some viewers of the exhibition, for example, asked us, where did the glasses come from? And I also asked him, you can also see this picture later on, I also asked him, where did the glasses come from? Did you put them there maybe for a better picture? He said, no, I didn't change anything. I think it's quite important. And at least for me, I can say that gradually the focus changed a bit, as I said, from the events of October 7th to gaining an understanding of what was happening in these kibbutzims in November. When he was there in November, and it was a closed military zone, there were also archaeologists and also reservists from the army. Reservists in case there were renewed attacks, which nobody knew. I mean, it was possible, of course, that there were renewed attacks. I was personally also a bit reluctant about some of these pictures because some of them appear quite beautiful, but I think there's a lot of things we are missing. He told me, for example, to him it was very hard for him to be there because it smelled. There's still blood on the ground, and it has a strong smell. Also, there was still alarm being raised, and in a very, very little time, seconds, maybe he had to run for shelter. And because this area was not yet cleared completely, sometimes he told me he ran to a shelter in which maybe people had died in. I mean, of course, there were no corpses at this point, but still it wasn't cleared. So all these conditions under which these pictures were taken were very difficult. Archaeologists may sound somewhat innocent, but I think these pictures show a lot. I need an explanation. Why were there archaeologists there? They used rubble from the houses. Sometimes only rubble was left. And they used the sieve, for example. That's what he took the pictures of. And they used to sift the rubble. And maybe they found a tooth, for example, or maybe a piece of a bone. And by doing a DNA analysis later, not the archaeologists, but specialists, of course, they maybe could cross somebody off the list of the people who were abducted from Israel. So this, say, innocent-looking photo, I think, has a large, huge story behind it. Also, this picture is a picture which is very, very impressive to me. It tells a lot about the events of October the 7th. Alex, the photographer, told me that there were several groups of people or units who went into the houses after people were being killed. In Hebrew, there's written here, Yesh Gufar, there's a corpse. And the first group, which went inside this house, for example, this is a sign done by a military unit. I'm afraid I don't know, also as friends in Israel, I don't know exactly what unit this refers to or what the code is. What I do know is that Hamas, when they left, and they actually left explosives under corpses. They left explosives, for example, in a school bag, so in innocent-looking surroundings. And as soon as the authorities found this out, they first sent a group of specialized soldiers in there to make sure that the explosives are removed. So it says, Mezokeh, it's cleared. And after the group of soldiers came in, there's a second group called Zaka. I'm quite sure you've heard of it. there's a group of religious volunteer organization, and they try to take all of what is left of corpse, maybe even smaller body parts, in order to give the person a burial as much as possible. And also this group went in, and this is also what is written on the wall, it's Mezuke Zaka, written in here. And I wanted to ask Alex what this is. To me it looks, I'm not quite sure what this is. I think this is something which remained of the original owners of the house. It looks maybe just like a children's thing, maybe it's something more serious, I'm not sure. But I think this is very good example of not seeing much, and yet the story behind it is very important to know. To come back to my discussion with Alex, and as he said, I'm very insignificant. And I said, no, of course you're not. You took the decision to take these pictures. You were affected by what you saw, and you sent these pictures to a friend. And I'd like to finish the talk by just stressing the importance of acting, and I believe of acts. I mean, we are all doing acts in a way. You decided to come here tonight. You of the University of Konstanz decided to have this cooperation with the University of Tel Aviv and to have this lecture series. And I think this is all example of acts, and not just the big acts matter, of course, but also these kinds of acts. So in this sense, I'd like to say thank you. If somebody listens from Israel, toda rabba. I'd also like to point out the web address of the exhibition. It's going to continue to travel. There's also an email there if you'd like to write to us. Much of what what I said is sort of a work in progress. Sometimes we couldn't reach the photographer. Sometimes facts, things we thought were facts, what he told us changed a bit. So if you know more, if you would like to know more, you are very welcome to contact us. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much, Judith, for this very informative introduction to the exhibition. Yeah, I think it's very important to have it here in Konstanz, and we have it here for the next 2 weeks, I think, or 3 weeks. Till the 14th of July, we have the possibility to see it, and it's although it's rather hidden inside the university building, it's open to the public. And this is also a very important message from us to the public, that you are invited, yeah, to bring your friends, to bring your neighbors or whatever to this exhibition in the next weeks that we have it here. And as I said, it's very important. We now have the chance to have a look at the exhibition. And as I mentioned, tomorrow at 11 a.m., we have the chance to a guided tour from one of the curators. Sabrina will do it. So thank you again. Thank you, Konstantin, and thank you for coming. We will continue with our seminar. I think it's next week that we continue with it's Fania Ost-Salzberger from University of Haifa, a German-Israeli dialogue that we will hear, listen to. And thanks again for coming. And now the informal part of the evening begins. Thanks very much.